is good. I woke up this morning and rolled out of bed to pray, but I've been on autopilot all morning. Even on a Sunday, even as a minister, I hope it's okay to admit that sometimes you're on autopilot. It's not necessarily a bad autopilot. I prayed on autopilot. I'm just thinking about God, getting ready for church, updating the website, just doing stuff. And then we started singing about grace. And I started thinking about how good God is. And something welled up even more in my heart, and I just wanted to praise Him. And I suppose that's why we do what we do. Because we can come into church on autopilot, and I want to be taken off autopilot. I want to focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How amazing it is that we get to know Christ, connect with Him, live in Christ, abide in Christ. It's powerful stuff. So I'm going to introduce my father-in-law, who everybody here probably already knows, so he may not need much of an introduction, but he's one of my favorite preachers, and it was a surprise benefit that they were coming to visit this weekend, and I love my in-laws. They are not in-laws, they're mom and dad to me, and I'm very thankful for both of them. They've been a huge blessing in my life. I had no idea when you got married that you didn't just marry the girl. You married the whole batch of them, and I married into a good batch. I have been blessed. I think she's had a rougher time than me. This isn't on the recording yet, is it? I have to say that every week. Okay, it's already on the week. My family has loved Kendra, and she came in, and it's been a blessing. But I got a spiritual father out of this. And I got parents that love me, that have mentored me, and been kind to me over the years. And I was thinking of the first times I really got to preach. James Roberts let me preach for him before Kendra would give me the time of day. And I came out and did a couple things for them. And I'm amazed at his generosity in my ministry. It's been an enormous blessing to me over the years. Plus, I like his preaching. So come on, Dad. Come bring the word. In Jesus' name, I love you.
Well, thank you for all those words. And we've enjoyed having Scott be a part of our family, so it's the feeling's very mutual, really. We enjoy teasing each other, too. That's really the fun part. But the serious part is we've been a blessing to each other, I guess. So, well, let me just read you one verse out of what I'm going to read here, and then we'll pray, and then you can be seated because you've been standing a while. I want to just read St. John, verse 15, and this is in New American Standard. I stole your Bible from home because I didn't bring one of my study Bibles with me. So New American Standard, John 15. I think I'll just read this verse. I'm going to read a bunch of verses, but this one is just real short. Verse 3, John 15, 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings today. I thank you for the nice spirit of worship, Lord, that we have already experienced here, Lord. I thank you for this beautiful group of people who love you and who come here faithfully, Lord, to worship you and to support this work in South Lyon. And Lord, I thank you for these young people who were up here participating, leading, and they are going to be doing some wonderful things for you, I'm sure, Lord. I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I think I've said this before, that my heart really gets warm when I come here because I love seeing new churches get started. And, you know, the group is small at this point, but that's not bad. That's just the beginning. And, you know what? We might as well enjoy the smallness and the coziness of it while we have it, because when the church grows, it changes a little bit, you know, and We want the church to grow because we want souls to be saved. On the other hand, you lose a little bit of intimacy when the church grows. And you get other benefits, and you lose some of the benefits of the intimacy that you have when you're small. I don't like to hear people say, well, I don't want our church to grow because I like it. I like the intimacy we have. We're not in this just for ourselves, right? We are not serving God just for ourselves. Christ did not say, oh, heaven is comfortable. I like it up here in heaven. I don't think I want to get messy by going down there and putting on flesh and having to interact with sinners and having to have people rebuff me and make fun of me and crucify me on the cross. None of that was the fun part for Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean he didn't get joy out of what he did, but he had to endure some things in order to get the joy that was at the other end. And serving the Lord for us is much like that. We get some joy along the way. We get some blessings along the way, but we can't get all hung up on the joy that we're enjoying now and forget that we're also here to sacrifice. And we're here to follow Jesus, and we're here to be like him, and that there's joy, there's a greater joy for us down at the end. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about the 15th chapter of St. John today, because to me it's one of the key things about how I manage to live for God, how I manage to serve him and keep it up over years. I'm not interested in being saved for a day or a week or a month. I'm not interested in a couple decades of living for God. I'm interested in living for God until Jesus comes or until I die. Because what good is it to live for a week for God? I mean, in the end, you're still lost, right? What's the point? If you're not going to live all the way, and if you're not going to make it all the way, then what's the point at all? And so living for God to me is something that I plan to do until the day I die or until Jesus comes, surprises us and comes. I love that very much. So I've got to pay attention. You and I must pay attention to what it takes to develop faithfulness in our lives. And Jesus gives this to us in the 15th chapter of St. John. I'm going to read it to you a little bit. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Don't let that bother you. Here it is. I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Okay, that makes my antennas go up right there. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. My Heavenly Father is interested in branches that bear fruit. If I'm a branch and I don't bear fruit, he's going to take me away. So that makes me think a little bit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, my understanding of pruning, I grew up on a farm, worked on a farm, but we didn't have fruit trees or anything like that. But my understanding of pruning is that you cut things off of the tree. You cut off dead limbs or maybe, I don't know. You make it so that what's left can be as fruitful as possible. You don't want the tree using its energy and its nutrients to sort of halfway take care of things that are not going to be fruitful. You get rid of those so that all the energy and fruitfulness of that tree can go into the branches that are really going to develop something. That's the purpose of pruning. So the Lord, what he does, he takes the dead branches and he gets rid of them. They aren't going to produce anything. And the other branches maybe have parts of them that are not going to be fruitful. And my little antennas go up about that too. Because if I want to be a fruitful person for the Lord, there may be parts of me that are not going to really be fruitful. There may be parts of my life that are going to hinder fruitfulness. And I may still have a lot of fruitfulness potential, but the Lord is going to come along and he's going to cut off parts of my life so that the rest of my life can really bear the kind of fruit that he wants. So, that speaks to me of suffering. That speaks to me of pain. That speaks to me of having to lose some things in my life if I'm going to live for God. Years ago, I had a man in our church who, I think he was a little misguided in this thought. He said, the Lord doesn't take away from your life, he adds to it. And I know what he meant. He meant that God blesses your life and you get better and all of that. But I disagree. I think the Lord does take things away from your life. He has to take things away from your life, or you cannot be as blessed as he wants you to be. He has to cut off parts that you would not yourself cut off. He does it for you. He's the vine dresser, not you. You are just a branch. He's the vine dresser. And he will cut things off in your life that must go so that what is left can be wonderfully fruitful. Let me read on. He says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That word clean there is really a reference to the pruning. You have already been pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you. So what does Jesus' words do? He tells us, look, this is right. This over here is wrong. Cut this off. Get this out of your life. What is that? That's pruning. I remember growing up as a new Christian. I was in high school. And I remember feeling the pruning that took place in my life. I recognized that people who had been friends of mine for a long, long time were beginning to drift away. Something had changed inside of me. God had filled me with the Holy Ghost. I now had the Holy Spirit in my life. I now had a desire for God that I never had before. And Christ was abiding in me. And I was trying to abide in Christ. And these old friends from school were not trying to abide in Christ. And it created a dissonance. It created something that just didn't match like it used to match. And there was no real animosity or anything like that. It's just that my life was now going in this direction, and their life was still going in that one. God was pruning me. He pruned me because he let me get into the Word of God. He let me hear the Word of God preached. And he let me read the Word of God and take it seriously in my life. And as I did so, I wanted the things of God. I wanted to be a part of the church. And I had to watch some of my friends drift away. My very best friend drifted away. A man that I still have a lot of affection for. You know? But, you know, at our 50th class reunion, I said to him, hey, you know, we ought to get together. His answer was, you think so? You know, I still care about him. I'd like to win him to the Lord. Still going that direction. I'm going this direction. God's pruning. It hurts to get an answer like that. But you know what? Pruning hurts. Okay, so pruning hurts. But I want the Lord to prune me. You should want the Lord to prune you. Because I'll tell you what he's doing when he prunes you is he is preparing you for long-term faithfulness and fruitfulness. And someday you are going to be blessed by God. There are going to be rewards for the fruitfulness that you bear in your life. And the submission that you give to God is going to be mightily rewarded someday. Don't be afraid of the pruning. You are clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. It's God's word that got a hold of me. It's God's word that got me thinking differently. His word taught me what was right. His word made me hunger for heaven and love the things of God and want the Holy Spirit. I can remember the preachers preaching, and I'm sitting back there, didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, and I'm telling you, those preachers just put me under conviction. They made me feel like I better do something. I am not right with God. I better get it right, you know. And I remember those men to this day, and they are special to me, even though I have little interaction or none with them anymore. They are special to me because they affected my life. They helped prune me with God's word. You know what? It makes you clean. The rest of the world is going to remain dirty. But as a Christian, I can know what it is to be clean inside. And it's part of this pruning that the Lord does in my life. So Jesus says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. So now my life purpose, and I hope yours, my life purpose is to stay with Jesus. I want to hear his word on a consistent basis. I want to read his word on a consistent basis. I want to hear his voice in prayer. I want to be quiet before the Lord so that I can be influenced by his voice. It says, you know, that those are his can hear his voice and they know his voice and they follow him. That's part of abiding in Christ. So here's my encouragement to you today. Whatever patterns your life has been taking up to this point, if you can steer your life to a little more consistent taking in of God's word and of taking in God's presence in your life a little bit more and more building your life more consistently around him, then you know what? That will be abiding in Christ and staying with him, living with him. And if you do so, it's going to really strengthen you and it's going to make you bear fruit in your life. I was talking with Brother Randy here. He's excited right now because he's got two or three of his employees who are kind of looking at church, going to church. One of them's at Dearborn today, supposedly, supposed to be at Brother Hayes's or Brother Hayes's pastor, and I don't know where else. But you know, it's exciting when you can see that people are taking notice enough about your life that they are getting curious about the Lord. That's fruit. You're bearing fruit. The Father likes that. He may prune you a little more so you can be even more fruitful. Willingly accept that. Because there's real joy in being fruitful. And God knows how. Let's read on. See where we go here. Apart from me, you can do nothing, it says at the end of verse 5. It says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. Thrown away. That doesn't sound like there's much love there. Thrown away. Would God throw me away? That's the only way I can interpret this is by answering yes. If you are not fruitful, if you do not bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life and demonstrate a Christian life in such a way that other people are impressed by Christ in your life. I don't know where the line is, and I'm not trying to get anyone feeling like I'm hopeless, I'm not fruitful enough, God's going to throw me away. But I do want you to know this. You need to care about this. You need to care about your fruitfulness. You need to behave every day amongst the worldly people that you interact with in such a way that you are impressing them with God's goodness and God's holiness, because you need to bear the fruit of the Spirit in front of them. One passage talks about being salty for the Lord. And it says, if salt loses its saltiness, what is it good for? Nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. And branches that are unfruitful will be thrown away. And they'll dry up because they're no longer connected to the vine, and eventually cast into the fire and burned. Praise the Lord, I want to be fruitful. Hallelujah. I think you do too, or you wouldn't be here today. So I'm just encouraging you, get busy about being fruitful. Live a Christian life everywhere you go. Talk like a Christian everywhere you go with whomever you are conversing. Talk like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Be as much like Christ as you can be. Abide in Christ. Let his words abide in you. If his words are coming out of you, if his ways are showing through you, how can you help but be fruitful? How many minutes have I gone, Brother Scott? Are you timing this? Okay. So I am not going to try for Brother Harper's record. I'm not going to try for his record, but I want to finish a little bit here. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That scripture, I think, bothers most of us, because sometimes we ask for things we don't get. Am I wrong about that? Might be an indication that when we were asking that, we were not abiding in Christ. Or it could be an indication that timing is not right yet for that to be fulfilled. But sometimes we ask selfishly or unwisely. But I think when we are really abiding in Christ and his word is abiding in us, then, you know, that I always like that scripture about he'll give you the desires of your heart. But the trick is, you've got to love God and be in Christ enough that the desires of your heart are God's desires. It's kind of tricky, isn't it? You know, God is not saying, look, I'll give you anything you want if you just live for me. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, come to me. I'll prune you. I'll cut off the deadness in you. I'll stimulate life in you. I will bring out the life juices from the vine will come into you, and you will begin to live, and you will become whole, and you can become like me. And when you get enough like me that you think like me and desire like me, then I'll give you what you ask for. Verse 8, my Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You see, bearing fruit of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, and that Christian life, bearing that kind of fruit in your life and eventually that life touching other people, that brings glory to God. Tell you what could be better than pleasing God and bringing glory to God? Because if you do, he's going to bless you. He is going to someday reward you greatly for living a life that bears this kind of fruit. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So I'm not going to go on and on about this, but I want to mention this, that if you really love God, you will obey his commandments, and you will abide in him, and you will hang on to him and become like him. Like Christ. This is what God wants you to be. Like Jesus. What would Jesus do? That book, In His Steps, is an interesting little book. It's about a minister who decided to ask the question, or to of himself in any situation, what would Jesus do right now? And then try to do that. See, that's abiding in Christ. It's a challenge. It's not easy. Getting pruned is not easy. It's not fun to get pruned. But the results of pruning are really wonderful. Hallelujah. Could we stand today? I hope I've encouraged you today to say, I just want to be fruitful for Jesus. I want to walk with him. I want his word to live inside of me. I want the way I talk and live to be God's fruitfulness coming out of me. You know, the Bible says that if a woman tries to live for God and her husband doesn't want to live for God, that she has the potential of living that holy life, that holy chaste life before her husband, and actually sanctifying him and sanctifying her children. Now, I don't believe that that means that she can make him be saved or make her children be saved, but I believe that that godly influence, that godly fruitfulness, can have a mighty impact on the people who observe it day after day, week after week, year after year. They know that they haven't, a normal person would just blow their fuse. But instead, this woman, this person, they just keep doing godly things in spite of it all. That's our challenge. That's what we need to pray about in our lives. Lord, help me to be that, have that kind of character, have that kind of love of God, that kind of fruit in my life that other people can see it and see you and glorify my Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. See my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. I just wonder, maybe we could just gather around here as a church and say to ourselves and in a small way to one another. This is what we want. This is what we want. Hallelujah. We just want to be, we're not there yet. None of us is. I could probably just go into the last week and I could find examples when I did not exactly live this to the fullest that I'm preaching about today. It's a challenge for me just like it is for you. But you know what? With God's help, we can improve. We can be better. Let's pray together right now. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you. God, we're broken sometimes, Lord, but we do want to be abiding in you. We want your spirit, Lord. We want your goodness, your love. We want you to inspire us, Lord, to walk in the way that's right. Help us, Lord, to just be godly in our talk, in our attitudes. Fill us with your love, Lord. Help us to love one another like this chapter says we should. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I give you the glory and the praise. And I just ask you right now, Lord, bless this church right here. Make this such a fruitful and godly church, Lord, that the city of South Lyon, the people in the city of South Lyon, notice. That the people in Wixom notice. That the people in Novi notice. That the people in Brighton notice. Whitmore Lake notice. Even down into Ann Arbor notice. Lord, let there be a glow that comes from this people right here in the name of Jesus. Here we are, Lord. We're not much in ourselves. But Lord, we're asking you to use us for your glory. In Jesus' precious name.